Welcome, everyone, to episode 210 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to talk about some fan conduct or misconduct in certain cases. We're also going to say goodbye to Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, both of whom have been shut down for the year. And we're going to discuss the surging Rockets and if they are the biggest threat to the Warriors in the West. Before we get to all of that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd really appreciate it. And you can now find us on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter, at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
Brian, I did not like this intro, so obviously I'm banning you from the podcast, because that's what we do now.
Right.
I guess.
Good, yeah. Well, at least I didn't curse at you or say hurl any racial epithets at you.
Yet. The night is young.
I was about to say yet. Damn it. Well, yeah, Mort, let's get right into it, because I feel like fan conduct has unfortunately been a big storyline over the past couple days. Two very notable incidents. So let's start with Russell Westbrook and the Utah Jazz. At a game the other day, a video came out during the game of Russ turning to a fan and saying, "I'll F you up," and then saying he was going to harm the fan's wife or girlfriend or whatever as well, the woman sitting next to him. After the game, Westbrook said basically the fan said something racist toward him, said, like, you know, get on your knees or something like that. Get on your knees like you're used to, which he considered completely disrespectful and racial. The fan said he didn't say that. He said he told Westbrook to ice those knees up. Westbrook, according to this guy, Westbrook replied that it was heat on his knees, and the fan said, "You're going to need it." He also said his girlfriend did not participate in the exchange. The Utah Jazz performed an investigation, basically determined Westbrook's side of the story is right. A lot of his teammates came out in support of him, Raymond Felton, Thabo Sefolosha. Cephalosha's on the Jazz now, but a lot of players on both sides. Donovan Mitchell came out in support of Westbrook as well. The Jazz have banned this fan, not only from all Jazz games, but just from the arena in general, which is a great move on their part. So that's the whole backstory. But
a necessary move.
Yeah. So, I mean, more the question moving forward is really, like, what can the NBA do about disruptive fans like this? I mean, is there anything short of just making an example of dumbasses like this guy?
Yeah, this should just be the new standard. Throw their asses out for life. If they show any inclination of saying anything that's racist or derogatory or in any way, you know, crosses the line, that's it. Look, the players need to be protected too. I get that the whole, you know, narrative changed back after the, you know, the Malice of the Palace, where, oh, we have to protect our fan base. Yeah, well, you also have to protect players. Players are people too. And this is, we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, a lot of people forget that NBA players or athletes in general are human beings.
Right.
And, you know, they have families. I think, was it Raymond Felton who said, I think it was Raymond Felton. So many quotes came out, I may be misremembering who. I think it was Raymond Felton who said, "You know what? I'm listening to a lot of this stuff. I'm a dad. I have to go home to my family and be a responsible father and a husband and all this. So getting all these words just thrown at me, like, that's not cool." Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, it frustrates the hell out of me that just how dumb this is on just the most basic level, like. When you say something that's racist, derogatory, or just, you know, plain out insulting, like, what did you expect?
Right.
That's just like, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think someone is going to crown your ass?
Yeah.
For saying racist stuff? Do you think you're going to get an award? Or the Utah Jazz going to stop the ball game and go, "Hey, you know, listen to this fan who just said a bunch of racist stuff. Let's give him $1 million. Like, what is a positive outcome coming from that? I can't comprehend just how dumb it is.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember the Dave Chappelle skit, When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong?
No, I do not.
Okay, so back of, like, when the Chappelle Show was still a thing in the early 2000s, there was a whole skit about that. And it, this reminds me, it's like when being a keyboard warrior goes wrong. Because that's what it is. Like, these people are, and you know, this guy's Twitter account, he deleted it very quickly, but not before people could start taking screen grabs of it. And he said similarly derogatory stuff about Russell Westbrook on social media, which immediately eviscerated his case of, oh no, I was innocent here. Like, okay, sure guy. Yeah. but it's like, it's exactly what he was saying on Twitter behind a screen when no one could get to him. He yeah. said that to Russell Westbrook to his face, and clearly Russell Westbrook did not take kindly to it, and it led to this guy's ejection, as it should. I mean, I do want to play devil's advocate here, because we'll get to James Dolan in a minute, but where do you think that line is? Because, like, I agree with you. If it's racist, if it attacks a player or his family, whatever, I agree that's a clear line. But, like, if you're just saying, like, hey, Mike Muscala, you suck. You can't hit a three. You're a bum. Go to China. Do you think that...
That was very random.
That was it was not targeted at all. So
I think actually that... I think that is kind of... I mean, I get it. People will say that stuff. You know, it's very subjective. I actually would not say stuff like that. You're a bum. Like, I would never say stuff like that. I think that is actually pretty insulting. Mm-hmm. Like, what I would say... Like, let's say I was sitting there... And let's say I was a Jazz fan and I was trying to heckle Russell Westbrook. You know what I would be saying? If he had a bad shooting game, I would just go, hey, Russ, the basket is over there. Like, it's right over there. It's the orange rim. The ball has to go through it, right? Like, stuff like that. Because right. it's playful. Yeah. And I think if you keep it playful while still, you know, trying to take in the ball game, because that's the whole point. The whole point is actually having a good time. Like, right. let's not forget that this is the whole, you know, existence of the NBA, the whole reason for the existence of the NBA, and the reason we're even sitting here discussing this league on a podcast and have been doing so for 3 years. Jesus, mm-hmm. 3 years, Brent. is it's entertaining. And it's entertainment. We're discussing an entertainment business, and that's what it is, and it needs to be fun. So if you can have a positive, you know, exchange between fans and players, that would be tremendous. But, you know, calling somebody a bum or, you know, talking crap about their families or their ethnicity or whatever, that's just, it just rubs me the wrong way. I mean, I have been to, I don't know, roughly 10 or 12, something like that, 10 or 12 NBA games, and it's been wildly different, you know, experiences. I have experienced people, you know, yelling some of the most vile things I've ever heard when you're sitting up in just under the rafters. So mm-hmm. none of the players are really listening to it. They can't hear it because you just have one idiot who's yelling something.
Right.
And then I've had, you know, games where everything has been extremely pleasant, and I've seen Tracy McGrady just exchange like laughs and you know, talk, you know, what do you call it? Trash talk,
yeah.
You know, with Bucks fans on the sideline, while just, you know, cracking a smile. So it's really about the identity of the player, the mm-hmm. identity of the game as well. Like, where's the game going? Is the player frustrated? How is the game being officiated as well? Because if a guy feels that he's gotten a lot of non-calls, like, he may be frustrated at the end of the game, and it may be very noticeable. And if someone says something in the heat of the moment, that player might not be, you know, happy about it.
Right.
So it comes down to just being a human being and understanding, like, hey, I'm talking to another human being. Let me have some common decency.
Yeah.
I mean, would you go into like a Starbucks and correct to someone, and if you get a bad, you know, bad cup of coffee, go back up to him and just yell out racial slurs?
Right. Well, that's my favorite thing, is like, I wish players could go into these fans' place of work, and then if they're doing a bad job, they could just return the favor.
Like, oh, that would be nice.
Right? That should be like a Jimmy Kimmel skit or something.
That should actually be a reality show. It would be, you know, the NBA's newest... what is it called?
GM school.
There we go. Yeah. Oh my god, that's atrocious.
No comment.
No comment. Oh, right. Yep. So yeah, it's very personal, I think, and it's some players have different lines,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they or different, you know, areas where they draw the line. I think some players are just very, very open-minded towards everything, or just laughing stuff off.
Right.
And then there are some that are really sensitive. And you know what? We shouldn't be looking at the players who are sensitive and go, "Hey, you're wrong."
Yeah.
Like, no, that's just his way of being a person, and that's completely fine.
Right.
Like, you know, we talked about Kevin Durant. I don't remember if it was last episode or a couple episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, people are just visually slamming his mentions every single day. They're, you know, trash fire. And it's just, oh, it has to be so hard for him to just wake up every day to those kinds of things and then going to the arena and then hear the same things just
right.
in real life instead.
Right.
So we can't sit here as people and comment on how other players and other people are feeling. Like, that's their own. I can never tell you how to feel. Never. Mm-hmm. That is impossible. And a lot of NBA fans have just not gotten that memo yet. And that's a problem. Because they assume, oh, I said something racial, but Russell Westbrook is a hard-nosed guy. He right. won't mind.
Right.
What? What? Are you that dumb? Really? Like, what?
Yeah. And to be clear, I don't want to conflate this because I know there's been a tendency to do that, especially with Utah. Like, I don't want to make it seem like every Utah fan is racist or like says racist things toward players. Like, every single arena you have bad apples. I don't yes. care where you are. It's not just limited to Utah or Boston. It's like, I grew up in Philly, right? Like, I went to Phillies games and Sixers games and Eagles games as a kid. I learned a lot of curse words from those games. Like, especially Phillies games. I think every single player on the team in the mid-90s, someone, like, every inning called them trash, called them a bum, said they suck, whatever, and some not so suitable for work terms. So, like, it for me, it's that perspective is like, this is just the environment I grew up in. But I think there is a clear line, and I think it is, like, really when you're addressing players' families, when you're saying racial stuff, anything about their religion, just anything about their personal life really should be off limits. Like, limit, if you're not creative enough to come up with an insult about their on-court play or like about the situation surrounding them. Like, I think the Pacers, when they did the LeBron's gonna trade you to Brandon Ingram, like mm-hmm. that was legit funny.
Yeah, and like that's fair because that's in the news cycle.
Right, and like Brandon Ingram, I'm sure he was like annoyed by it, but he has to, like, if he could step back from that situation, he's got to admit that's pretty funny. And so, like, your point from earlier, if Russ is having a bad shooting night, I would kill him with kindness. I would just be like, come on, yeah. Russ, keep shooting. Great shot, man. Keep taking yeah. those threes. You're going to get it the next time. Like,
yeah, that's a good one. That's a yeah. good way of doing it. Yeah, if you have to. Like, I don't understand, like, the point of heckling, really.
Right.
I don't get into it, but I that would be the way to go. So now you just said it shouldn't be anything personal. I agree with you, but where do we stand on heckling Kyrie's belief that the Earth is flat?
If it's something that stupid, that's probably fair game.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So there are exceptions.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Right. But nothing. Yeah. Just yeah. Right. If you have something completely out of left field, you do deserve to get called for it. But you know, just leave the players' families out of it. Leave their race, yeah. religion, all that stuff. Like, just it goes back to, you're right. We talked about this when we were talking about Adam Silver's comments from Sloan about, you know, players being unhappy, and it goes back to just like treat players with some semblance of human decency, even if they're on the opposing team. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could still create a home court advantage without slinking into right. being a racist piece of trash. There's a very wide spectrum between that and, like, you know, still making life difficult for a player on the opposing team. So
do you think it was fair that Russ got fined $25,000?
I mean, the NBA doesn't really have a choice. It's just the precedent of it. I mean,
I get that, but it still felt yeah. wrong.
Well, I saw that Jazz fans apparently started a GoFundMe to fund Russ's $25,000 fine.
Are you kidding? That's awesome.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, which is, like, kind of stupid, because these guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars, $25,000.
No, but, like, it's just, it's to prove a point.
It's a nice gesture, for sure.
Yeah, and it's to prove a point. Like, a lot of jazz fans are you know, saying that we're not all like this.
Right.
And this is a way of demonstrating that. I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, and I think really the best way to go about this moving forward is, like, I understand if you're at a game and some drunken idiot is shouting boorish things, and you're there with your kids, you don't want to start anything, like, you know how this is going to escalate. But it really does come down to, like, self-policing. Like, arena staff can't be there, can't be everywhere at once. So if you notice it, like, just go talk to an usher. And you know, like, talk to the people around you. If this guy's really bothering you, if this girl's really bothering you, get your group, your section together, go talk to an usher. They will handle it appropriately. But it does come down to, you know, we all have to take responsibility for dumb people's actions. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to run free.
Yeah. So, basically, we agree that more bands are good.
Yeah. Well.
Yep.
So let's go into the other notable band from the past few days.
Right. Context matters here.
Uh-huh. So James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, there was a video filmed a video came out the other day of a fan at Madison Square Garden as James Dolan is walking back through the tunnel. A fan yells out something like, "Hey, James, sell the team."
Mm-hmm.
And James gets very mad. And then the fan's just like, "That's just my opinion. You should sell the team." That's basically all he said. He didn't curse at him. He didn't say anything racial or whatever. He just said, "Sell the team."
So it's sell the team, yeah.
Dolan pulls the ushers aside, tells them to remove him from the stadium. And then he gives this interview on Tuesday on the radio where he called the confrontation an ambush and said the fans sold the video to TMZ. He said, "The ban is only coming." So this fan is now banned from Madison Square Garden completely. And he said, "The ban is only coming from the fact that we have now learned that he planned it. They were stalking me. You can't do that in Madison Square Garden. You are not allowed to stalk the owner and then confront him like that. These particular guys had planned on making that video and selling it to TMZ.
Is there proof of that?
I don't care if there is or not.
Right, but just, like, you can't just throw stuff at the wall. And
right.
But yeah, no, look, I mean, what we were talking about before, that's under the assumption that we live in a logical world with logical people who understands how to do their jobs.
Right.
Now we're talking about James Dolan, so we're in fantasy land.
Right. I mean, the whole interview he gave yesterday was unhinged, but that part in particular, right? He was saying, like, he was going to invite the fan back to Madison Square Garden and take him back and meet the players and show him that the organization isn't as much of a clown show as it looks like from the front end. But then he came to some realization, or he learned somehow, that this whole thing was a setup, according to him. So now the fan is banned for life.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I mean, signing there, KD and Kyrie, or whatever.
Right.
That... Look, this, I'm off the Knicks. I actually wrote a post for my Danish Patreon where I was like, it was kind of a letter to the Knicks about, "I'm giving you one last chance. Like, just don't mess it up. Like, I don't even know why I'm giving you this last chance. I'm done. I'm actively rooting at this point for them to just be as horrific as possible. And I understand the Knicks fans will feel bad about that. And look, I'm basically doing this all against Dolan instead, not the Knicks fans. I have so much sympathy for just the average New York fan who's like, "The last time I was great, or last time the team was great, I was like in diapers." Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, like you said, it's a clown show. That organization is beyond embarrassing. And Dolan has no understanding. Like, I don't even know how many years he's been an owner now. Like, 20? Something along those lines?
Yeah, I think,
like,
around there.
He's never really gotten a hang of it. Never gotten a hang of it. And if he hasn't gotten it after 20 years, nothing's going to change. He's, you know, he is... I was going to say he's by far the worst owner, but, like, you have Robert Sarver.
Right.
right. as well. Like, there, we really have this issue in the NBA of bad ownership and how much they control the league in terms of their, you know, their teams being bad consistently and how you can never build momentum. Like, to Vivek Ranadive's credit, even though he was going to make some errors in the offseason, mm-hmm. like, you know, you get a product and he took his hands off and, like, he made the Harrison Barnes trade with Vlade, which, you know, I get it. Like, he wanted, he saw something develop, and instead of just blowing it up, he was like, all right, let's add to it and see how far this thing could go, mm-hmm. which at least I appreciate and I respect, and it seems like he's at least gotten better. A little bit slower than I thought he would be, but he's getting it, like, slowly but surely. Dolan is just, I don't know, a lunatic at this point. I think it's fair to say he's just completely unhinged.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to use the Clippers as another example. Like, they were a running joke for decades under Donald right. Sterling. He gets removed because he's a disgusting racist. Steve yep. Ballmer takes over, and within, what, like, 3 or 4 years, the Clippers look like one of the best run franchises in the NBA.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, like we say it all the time that ownership is the greatest competitive advantage or disadvantage in the NBA. If you have a yeah. good owner who is willing to spend money well and, you know, put money where his mouth is and, like, build up the team's front office staff, build up the facilities, build up the training staff, really treat players at, you know, not just as disposable assets, but right. you know, as first rate, like, these are our most valuable pieces of this organization. Like, we could do all we want, but if we don't have good players, we're still going to suck on the court. We can have a great practice facility, but if we can't lure good players, it's all for naught. So
yep.
it seems like the Clippers do that. You know, Mark Cuban's Mavericks have been known for doing that. You have to make your organization enticing. Now, the Knicks, to their credit, have Madison Square Garden. They have one of the biggest media markets in the United States. Like, they have a lot of things going in their favor. So for Dolan to have screwed this up so badly for his entire ownership, they've won one playoff series this century.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You'll never convince him of that. That's the problem.
Right.
Like, you can sit across James Dolan, you know, a million people can sit, you know, in front of him and just tell him he's done a horrible job, and they can, you know, individually just go on and on and on about how that's been done, like, just showing proof.
Yeah.
You won't convince him.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's where you are just, what is it, like the Dark Knight quote, when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Dolan and the Knicks in a nutshell.
Right.
Like, And that's why I don't think, even if they get Durant and Kyrie Irving, right? Even yeah. if they get those two max guys, like, I have zero faith in that they're going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the Lakers. Just getting LeBron James was not a magical 50-win panacea on its own. Like, you still have to hit moves on the fringes. And
right.
I mean, the Knicks front office, to their credit, I think has done a better job in recent years with Steve Perry having taken over. Like, it seems like Dolan is a little more hands-off than he was before, maybe. But I agree, going into the summer, I mean, Dolan on that interview yesterday all but said Kevin Durant is coming. He said, like, we've heard from agents of prominent players, and we can't say anything back, but we've been told that players want to come play for New York. And you didn't have to read between the lines to see who he was talking about. So I'm with you, though. Like, I don't want any players to go to the Knicks. I don't want any star players to go to the Knicks while James Dolan is the owner. And it, as you said, it's not anything against Knicks fans. I feel like Knicks fans even understand this at this point. Like, they hate Dolan yeah. more than anyone. I would yeah. be shocked if there's a single Knicks fan out there that likes James Dolan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, well, if you scour Twitter, you'll find
yeah,
someone.
Right, there's always
Here's the thing that wonders me a little bit. So we know that Durant is, and like we just talked about, like, it's completely fair that he is more, you know, sensitive than others.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to New York, he has to understand what he's getting himself into, like, from the media perspective.
Kyrie Irving too.
Yeah. Yeah, him too. Yeah, you're right. But like that's, it just feels to me that if they sign there, they're doing so without understanding they're walking into a bear trap.
I mean, that's why it's like so hilarious to imagine those guys, the two guys who have probably bristled with the media more than anyone this year, going into the New York media market on a team that has been so terrible. Now, maybe you could argue that the team has been so terrible that anything they do will be an upgrade. Yeah. But it won't take, like, if you bring in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and they fall even short of expectations, it will not take, maybe not Knicks fans, but the Knicks media will start, you know, stirring that pot a little bit once they
fall. In a New York minute.
Right. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's just, you have the owner as well. So basically, Kevin Durant has to already now, if he's contemplating going to the Knicks, prepare himself mentally to get so many questions asked about Dolan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's going to be a running theme.
I would think so. I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
One of my favorite things that I've seen on Twitter in recent days, Andy Bailey tweeted out the other day, bottom five win percentages in the NBA over the last six seasons. The Sixers were 27th, and they actively threw away three seasons. Right. The Knicks were 29th, and the Lakers were 30th. Now, the Lakers just got LeBron James, and it seems like the Knicks are going to get Kevin Durant. But I mean, so it goes to show you that, like, Lakers and Knicks exceptionalism actually works because they have the huge media markets working in their favor. But
yeah,
I'm very excited to see this train wreck unfold.
It certainly seems to be a train wreck. Like, so it's a double sided thing for me, because on one hand, if the Knicks do become good under Durant and Kyrie, assuming they sign there,
mm-hmm.
like I will actually, on behalf of Knicks fans, enjoy it. Like,
sure.
Because if they find some level of happiness in that,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
But personally, I would absolutely hate it because it's so not earned.
Yeah.
Not for the franchise, but for Dolan specifically. I don't.
Right.
Maybe that's the way to word it properly. Like, it's Dolan. It's strictly Dolan. I don't think he deserves a damn thing. Like, what he deserves is a bunch of G League players to basically fill out the roster.
Right. He deserves the process Sixers in perpetuity with no long-term plan.
Exactly.
Or terrible lottery luck.
Yes.
I agree.
All right, good.
So let's move on to the other team that has been in the bottom five in terms of win percentage over the last 6 years, the Los Angeles Lakers. We have talked a lot about them, but they had some unfortunate news over the weekend. Two of their young prospects are being shut down for the year. Let's start with Brandon Ingram, who I want to make it clear right off the bat. Brandon Ingram getting shut down because of this DVT is not a tanking move. I know a lot of people were joking about that right away when the news came out. A DVT could be fatal. Like, this is not a laughing matter. It's frankly a great sign that the Lakers medical staff caught it while it was still in his arm and hopefully did not get into his lung yet and turn into a pulmonary embolism. But it's still really scary. They haven't released any long-term, like, full details about what's going to happen to him moving forward. But I talked to my wife about it right when it came out. And basically, as long as they did catch it early enough, he'll be on blood thinners for the next few months. But he should be able to come off of them eventually. If he is on blood thinners, he cannot play basketball. This is the same issue that Chris Bosh ran into a couple years ago when he had his clotting issues. Basically, if you get bruised, like, basketball is too physical. And if you get bruised, you're going to bleed internally and probably bleed out. So it's just too risky. No team will allow you to play on a blood thinner. If Ingram gets a second DVT, he will likely have to be on blood thinners for life.
Yeah.
Which is, again, the same thing Chris Bosh ran into, and that's why his career ended prematurely. So before we dive into any analysis of Ingram, I first just want to say, like, prayers up for the guy. Hopefully everyone listening and both of us are rooting for him to get healthy and stay healthy and have no more issues, because that's scary, man. That's really scary. So, not a tanking move.
Not a tanking move, and I also, I'm actually going to be refraining from analyzing his game. Let me just put it this way. You know, he certainly took a lot of leaps forward,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, yes, he's missing a few things, but I don't want to focus at all
on what he's missing in his game, because right now there are just so much more pressing matters.
Yeah.
I'll just say as much. I hope to watch him back on the court as soon as possible and for many, many years to come.
Agreed. See, I was going to go positive with this. I was going to say before he went down, like from mid-January until he suffered the arm injury and then they found the DVT a couple days later, he was showing some really promising strides. Like, he had taken a big step forward over that last month and a half. I know, like, Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Ingram comparisons were becoming the new thing early in the season, but I'm much higher on Brandon Ingram long-term than I am on Andrew Wiggins.
Well, I mean, yes, obviously. I mean, Ingram, like, we've talked about, I'm going to be repeating myself so much again, but with regards to Ingram, like, I think you and I agree that he does project as a future all-star mm-hmm. on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's Wiggins' ceiling at this point?
Oh, man. I think he's hit it. Has he not?
Yeah, right? I think, yeah. I mean, after, what, 12,000, 14,000 career minutes, I don't think it's going to be significantly better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's such a hard loss just for not just for the Lakers, but you know, for Ingram as well, because if the one thing you can never doubt about Brandon Ingram, everything I've read about him over the years is, like, he is just in love with the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Just in love with it. Like, he's a hard worker and he's a student of the game. Like, having this, just this risk standing in front of him,
yeah,
you know, where he's right now doesn't know whether he's going to be able to play basketball as a job again, mm-hmm. ever. Because, you know, let's be honest, we don't know yet. And he doesn't know. Like, nobody knows yet.
Right.
That has to be extremely terrifying.
Yeah.
And especially coming off, like you just said, the best stretch of his career. Like, finally, you know, figuring something out.
Yeah. Yeah, he shot, I mean, he averaged, like, 22.5 points, shot almost 56% overall, more than 40% from three. 75% from the line.
Gets to the line a ton.
Yeah.
As like, well.
He was really, really coming into his own. It's gross to even consider this, but unfortunately, like, the Lakers in particular have to. He was a big part of the Anthony Davis trade talks going into the deadline, depending on who you believe. If Jeannie Buss would beg to differ. Do you think... How do you think this affects his trade value? I saw.
I don't know, man. I'm not even going to go into that. I think that's so harsh.
I know, but it's like this is going to be a theme this summer because it the is. Pelicans.
Oh, God damn it!
Like, the Pelicans are going to shop Anthony Davis. That if the Lakers, like, one of the primary things they could dangle was Brandon Ingram, but you're right. Like, I saw Brian Geltzeiler on Twitter, Hoops Critic, say he didn't think it was going to affect his trade value at all. I think that's absurd. Like, I don't think...
Of course.
The Pelicans can't be sure that he's a... You know, like, he was supposed to be one of their building blocks. Like, that was the whole Lakers pitch. It's like, you'll get Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma, and all these guys have a lot of upside, and they can develop, and they'll be with you for a long time. This whole DBT thing, it's like, yeah, any player can suffer a career-threatening or career-ending injury at any time, but, like, this increases the risk of that. If you're the Pelicans, this whole situation. So,
of course,
I think it, you know, the Lakers offer right now looks worse than it did a month ago, which
significantly
sucks. Yeah, like,
it's, no Subac either.
Yeah, right. And like, it sucks that it's gross to, again, it's gross to think about. Like, I, you know, again, we really are just focusing on the kid's health and hope he gets healthy first and foremost, but 4 months down the line, this is going to be a topic. 3 months down the line, even. Two months.
Yeah.
Once we hit the draft lottery, like,
this No, this is a LeBron-led team, so this will not go away. This won't be in a month. This is now.
Yeah.
And will be a theme until something happens. Because, look, how much did we talk about the Lakers before LeBron arrived? Not as much as we do now.
Right. We tried not to, because it was usually Voldemort fueled.
That's true.
Yeah.
But thing is, like, that's the thing with LeBron. He drives the narrative, and when he's on a roster, that team is going to get overexposed to a perverse degree. I've actually enjoyed not hearing a whole lot about the Cavs this year.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they're rebuilding and all that. That's fine. But I've just, you know, it just got to the point where just, oh, God, not another Cavs article or a Cavs podcast or, like, whatever, right?
Right.
Just, and now it's just Lakers, Lakers, Lakers all the time. Which I kind of feel bad for, not kind of, I feel genuinely bad for Brandon Ingram because now, because of LeBron's presence, now his injury or illness is going to be put under a magnifying glass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be so daily, and you're going to have people like ask him a ton of questions while, you know, when he's actually trying to figure out what's going to happen with his career. I mean, jeez. Right. But you're not wrong. That trade offer is certainly going to be affected. And who knows? It may be a blessing in disguise. Let's hope at least that everything is going to end up well with Brandon Ingram.
Yep.
And let's say because of all this, he remains a Laker. And maybe that is enough for him to find the motivation to say, well, now I'm going to prove the king wrong.
Yeah.
If he wants to trade me for Anthony Davis, I'm going to prove something.
Yeah.
I'm going to... That dumb Dane on the podcast who said several times that I'm only going to be a two-time All-Star, I'm going to prove him wrong too.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah,
I'm hoping that's the case.
And there was an argument, I think, at least, I want to say Kevin Pelton argued this, that you could argue that trading their entire core for Anthony Davis doesn't make a whole lot of sense if they are 100% certain he is going to sign there as a free agent in 2020. Now, it forces you most likely to punt on your cap space this year, roll back the whole same idea of like signing players to one-year deals. There's a non-zero chance you waste another LeBron James prime season. But at the same time, if you can get Anthony Davis in 2020 and you can pair him with a Brandon Ingram and Alonzo Ball and a Kyle Kuzma and all of those guys continue to develop on the same trajectory, maybe that's the best thing for this franchise long term.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's turning 35 in December. He does not factor into their long term plans. He just was supposed to restore them to their previous heights, and maybe he will next year. But
I don't care about the clutch sports ankle. I think they should look into trading him. Yeah, maintain that.
Yep. So let's also... Lonzo Ball is the other one. He's been out since, I think, late January with this ankle sprain.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bone bruise involved too, which delayed his recovery. They haven't officially declared him out for the season, but ESPN reported the same day of the Ingram stuff that Ball is also not expected to return this year. So I think his is a little more tricky because statistically he took a step back this year. He became slightly more efficient as a shooter, but not to the extent that you would hope. He still only shot 40.6% overall, 32.9% from three. Shot a horrendous 41.7% from the free throw line, only drew one free throw attempt per game. His stats were always going to get cut a little bit because he was playing next to LeBron James, who likes playing with the ball in his hands, and he had to share minutes with Rajon Rondo. But where are you on Lonzo moving forward?
So every time I show any sign of doubt regarding Lonzo, I get I get my mentions filled up, and not by Lakers fans. There's a lot of belief in this kid, and I get it from a defensive perspective. And from a rebounding perspective as well. Like, he genuinely is a guy who can come in and average a lot of rebounds. We saw that in this rookie season, like almost seven from the point guard position. And who theoretically, when he grows into his body and becomes, more experienced, could lead the league in assists. I mean, let's be frank. And defensively, he's a game changer. That's all nice and well, but you also need to have an offensive game that you can rely upon, year in and year out. And to me, the offensive game, the scoring game, is just, it's so far away that I have to question whether he's ever going to reach that ridiculous potential that he had coming into the league. I mean, had he been, just a little bit better percentage-wise all around, like gotten to the line a little bit more, been able to just knock down open shots at a higher rate, like that would have just comforted me a little bit more. But now I'm very worried about his offensive development. Like he's bad at most of the important stuff, like getting to the free throw line and converting when you get there, like three-point shooting. You know, it's just, it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's like, I don't think he ever hits his ceiling next to LeBron James. I'm not giving up on the kid entirely, but...
Right, right. And by the way, I didn't say I was giving up on him.
Right, just to clarify. No. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it is hard to see him being maximized along another Super Bowl dominant guy in LeBron. And for the love of God, if they re-sign Rajon Rondo this summer, they deserve to go 0-82. I don't care how good of a locker room leader he is.
No. They are playing the Knicks twice.
Oh, so, okay. Fine. 2-80. Yeah, but the Knicks are going to have KD and Kyrie. So 0-82 it is. But, like, look, I get it. Rondo is a great locker room guy. He's good with the young kids, apparently, if his time with the Bulls and the Pelicans was any indication. But you don't need two of that archetype on your team, especially when you have Lonzo and LeBron already. Like, I get it. You need a third point guard or a third ball handler in case of injuries, but preferably one who can actually shoot a three-pointer and command some sort of respect and draw people out of the lane. Like, this whole team-building disaster for the Lakers this year. I'm writing something for FanSided that goes up in a couple weeks on the biggest disappointments of the season. And I was initially going to put the Lakers, but I thought, like, that's not totally fair because they just got, you know, LeBron was out for a while. Ingram's now been out. Ball's been out for a while. Rondo missed that time. So now instead of picking Magic and Pelinka as the biggest disappointment of the season. Because it was not hard to see this coming. Like, even in July, they signed LeBron. We're like, oh, crap. And then they signed Rondo and Stevenson and Beasley and McGee. And we're all like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I remember a podcast episode. We were actually recording a reaction pod to some of the Lakers signings. And I remember we were laughing so hard initially that we actually had to redo the opening. Because it just made zero sense. Like, you got LeBron James, and then you just filled him up with the weirdest supporting cast you could ever imagine. And the Lakers were like, yeah, this is going to work. They were so confident. It was just hilarious.
They're like, yes, this is actually our plan. There was a literal ESPN story from Ramona and Shelburne and Brian Windhorst that I had to, like, go find the other day to write this slide for this fan-sided piece. Because I was like, this was not a figment of my imagination. A literal article from these two saying, like, yep, this plan looks crazy, but this was Pelinka and Johnson's vision. They sold LeBron on it while they pitched him in free agency. They conferred with him as they made these moves. He signed off, and they signed all these players.
Then how bad were the other pitches if that's the one that wins you over?
See, it goes back to he doesn't care about basketball anymore. He just wants to make Space Jam, man. He just wants to make Space Jam 2 and have a great budding entertainment empire. And I don't blame him because he could see, like, we talked about it last episode. He retires today. He's the second greatest player of all time. He's not catching MJ for number one, especially now. So,
can I just ask, though? I've seen the Space Jam argument so many times, but, like, Mike did it while, you know, he was still playing for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Like, he was just in LA for the summer. Did LeBron really have to sign with the Lakers to make Space Jam?
Well, he's got a much larger entertainment empire, and it's, like, his family wants to live in LA. I don't blame him. That's fine.
No, that's
like,
fine. I don't mind that either.
Most of your life in Cleveland, and my family's from Cleveland, so I could say this, but, like, Cleveland weather sucks in the winter. And Philly weather sucks in the winter. Like, I don't blame.
Yeah, I'm planning a U.S. trip, and I'm about to ask Joakim if I should take a vacation in Cleveland.
No. Well, it depends what time of year. Like, I wouldn't even tell you to go to Chicago right now, and I love Chicago. But Chicago sucks until mid-May, and that's the greatest city in the U.S.
It's actually between San Francisco and L.A. right now.
Okay.
Maybe I get convinced to go the non-U.S. route and go to some insanely warm place in the south of Europe instead. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
I'm still figuring out. It's a solo trip, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a solo trip.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I'm just going to go someplace where I can just, you know, eat and get tan. That's about it.
Well, I was going to say Nashville, you can eat. Not so much get tan.
Well, I mean, that's actually the interesting part. We should meet up and do a pod.
There you go.
Oh yeah, one pod, like you when you were here.
Right, right, exactly. All right, let's turn away from the Lakers. Hopefully that's the last time we have to discuss them. Oh, okay.
Well, actually, one last thing, yep. because I just had a quirky thought here.
Okay.
So we just spoke about Andrew Wiggins before in terms of comparing him to Brandon Ingram, right?
Yeah.
If you merged Lonzo Ball and Andrew Wiggins, you would actually get something that looks like a very decent NBA player. Because the only thing Wiggins can do is really put the ball in the basket, which is right. what Ball can't do.
Right.
But when you look at Wiggins, like he's always ending up with like 3 rebounds and 3 assists. Yeah. But Ball, the point guard position, like 7 and 7.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would love that. Just merge. Like, find right. something. Find a weird machine. Just merge. I'm not sure how the contract would work, but
I think then you get Ben Simmons.
Oh. Oh.
Because that player, that Wandru. Ball Ingram? Whatever. I'm not doing it. But the merger of Lonzo and Wiggins still can't shoot worth a lick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But and hit three throws because Lonzo would draw back that right. free throw percentage from Wiggins. Yeah.
But he's tall, a good playmaker, good defensively. Yeah. You have mm-hmm. Ben Simmons. There we go.
That's true. Okay. Well, two Ben Simmonses in the NBA. I can go with that.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, that means the Lakers couldn't steal one in a couple of years. It'd make me happy.
Oh, I'm signing with Clutch Sports.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's turn now to the Houston Rockets, who they had a really rough start to the season. They survived a bunch of injuries. Chris Paul, Clint Capella, most notably. They've won 9 straight games. They're only 3.5 games back of the Warriors right now. They look like
yeah.
they are going to cruise comfortably to the 3 seed. Eric Gordon in Mark Stein's weekly newsletter that comes out Tuesday, he said he really believes that there is no other team but us that can really have a chance against the Warriors. How are you feeling about the Rockets right now? Do you think they are a legit threat? Do you think like they're the biggest threat to the Warriors in the West?
Oh my, he shouldn't have said that though. That's just, you know, that's the kind of quote that ends up on whiteboards.
Right. Especially going into a game tonight against the Warriors, who have been failing somewhat as of late. But
I was thinking more like Denver or other teams. Like they would take that Gordon quote and they put it on the whiteboard and just circle it 7 times. Like let's not make this happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I kind of get why Gordon is saying this, because right now he's feeling himself. He had a horrible start to the season. Mm-hmm. Horrible start. And he's found his legs, and he's found some of his shooting rhythm back. He's still not what he was last year, but it's getting drastically better. And I think he's feeling the mojo. Remember when he said early in the season that he was like, it wasn't fun anymore?
Yeah.
Seems like they're having a little bit more fun now.
Yeah.
Winning cures everything. Yeah. Everything. And look, getting Harden some help, it's not a moment too soon, man.
Right.
36 a game, 7.5 assists, 6.5 rebounds. I mean, he's just ridiculous at this point. Just ridiculous. Whether they're the second team, I don't know. I'm really, like, last year, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a strong feeling this year about any team being, like, the clear-cut number two.
Yeah.
It could be Houston. It could be Denver. I mean, it could be OKC.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many options. That, technically, like, it could be Utah. I don't think so, but it could be. Like,
right.
You have so many options. I'm not looking at Houston as being, like, cemented as the second best team in the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they are rounding into form at the right time.
Yeah.
They look like they could be a legit threat. I think a Denver-Houston second-round series, if that came to pass, would be, you know, we're focused on like the Eastern Conference semifinals as being probably the most entertaining round of the playoffs. I think Denver-Houston, a 7-round series of that.
Yeah. That could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be super fun. Yeah, like, do I think they're... I do not think they are the only team that has a chance against them. If that, you know, with Gordon saying that, I don't think that's true at all. I think the Bucks and the Raptors in particular will have a real shot against them. I think the Celtics, if they could just get out of their own heads, would still have a shot against them.
Oh, he didn't say Western Conference only? I thought he said Western.
No.
I thought it was a no. Oh, okay.
He said there's no he meant other the whole team league? But us. Yeah.
Oh, now that just makes it worse. Yeah. Eric, shut up, man.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's not going to... Whatever. If the Rockets beat the Warriors, then whoever they face in the finals... And bulletin board material there doesn't matter as
that's
much.
That's suicide, man. Come on. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, he said we're peaking at the right time. I think they're right there with them. We're right there with them in reference to the Warriors. Like, look, since February 1st, they have the third best net rating in the league. Their defense has been rounding into form, actually, pretty well lately, too. Like, they absolutely train wrecked the Sixers on Friday. I stopped watching that game, I think, by the end of the first quarter. I was just like, nope. This is just awful. I know exactly what's going to happen here. There is no point in watching this for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, they were just getting whatever they wanted on both ends of the court. It was brutal. Like,
But part of it is also just them getting acclimated with one another. They had a lot of moves.
Yep.
They brought in Austin Rivers, and then they had all the injuries. Nobody really gelled. Yep. Kenneth Reed came in and had to play a ton of minutes.
Yeah.
There was the Carmelo saga at the early part of the season.
Right.
Like Daniel House, you know, coming in and out, and now he's in again, thankfully.
Yep.
Like there's like 22 different players have suited up for him this year.
It's wild.
Yeah, so I get it. Like that takes time to gel.
Right.
Absolutely it does.
Yeah. I still have my concerns about them going into the playoffs, particularly Harden running out of steam. You know, he's averaging 37.3 minutes. He's played in a majority of their games. I hope once their seeding, if they are in a position where their seeding is somewhat solidified on either side, I hope they do buy him a game or two of rest down the stretch. More.
Yeah. Like, look, if they position themselves well, even if they don't, man, I would give him the last 5 games of the regular season off. Yeah. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. I guess if there's, like, one matchup they're really trying to either avoid or draw. But, like...
Yeah, but, you see, I would rather go into, like, a less preferable opponent...
Right.
With a healthy Harden.
Right.
Then going in with the preferable opponent and having like a washed up Harden who's just like, yep, I can't even think straight. I'm so tired.
Right. I mean, working in their favor, according to Tankathon, they have the 10th easiest schedule moving forward. Of the playoff contenders in the West, only Utah, the Clippers, and San Antonio are easier. And all three of those teams are far enough behind that I don't think they need to worry about them.
Right.
OKC is the third hardest moving forward, and where is Portland is right in the middle. So
yeah, Portland. I forgot about Portland. Before. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll finish as the three. If they get the two, that's great. But I'm with you. I don't think seeding or matchups matter all that much. I think whichever team they face in the first round, other than if OKC slips down, I think they would be pretty clear favorites over any team. I think Houston, Utah would be one to ideally avoid. I think, like, with all due respect to the Spurs, I feel like that's the one you're probably targeting of any Western Conference playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tricky juggling act because at the same time, Harden is right in the mix for MVP, too. And, like, you know, he might want to have one final salvo to swing voters, you know, as if 36 points per game aren't enough to do it, maybe he wants to go out and just, like, go bananas for those last 5 games. So it's going to be, I think Mike D'Antoni is going to have a tough time.
Drain himself entirely for the playoffs.
I mean, his minutes have been slightly down over the last few games, which is a good sign. By slightly, I mean, like, 32, 34, 35 instead of 38, 39. So, hopefully they just keep blowing teams out like they did the Sixers. You got 32 minutes against the Sixers because they were dead in the water after the first quarter. So, if they do that, then they'll buy him some rest already. But, yeah, I think they should be at least eyeing a few opportunities to get him some rest, even if it costs him the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go chasing, you know, MVPs or personal accolades right now.
Right.
I just, and look, I'm saying that because, you know, I'm a fat guy sitting in front of a computer, so I mean, if I was out playing and averaging 36 a game, I might have it. Be inclined to think differently,
right.
But my point is, like, Harden seems to be more wired towards the championship now. After he won the MVP last year, I think it seems like he's just more in every interview he has right now. It's like it's very keyed in on, you know, playoffs success, and so I think for his sake, it just would be so much better to just give him an opportunity to rest, heal up, and just be ready so he can come in and do exactly what he's doing right now, but in a playoffs context.
For sure. Like, he won MVP last year, and what did that get him?
Yeah, exactly. Besides, Giannis is going to take it, so right. I'm not really worried.
Right. Right. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Like, they play the Warriors today, then they play Phoenix on Friday. That's a clear. He should not play that game. They have a back-to-back next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, against Atlanta and Memphis. Sit him one of those two, probably against Memphis. Yeah. And then they play the Knicks on April 5th. Knicks on April 5th, and then the Suns on April 7th. Those are two of their final three games. The Knicks is not nationally televised. None of those three games are nationally televised. The Phoenix April 7th game is on NBA TV. So you could very easily... There's no reason you should be playing in any of those.
No, none whatsoever. I mean, just give those minutes to Eric Gordon instead. And to CP... I mean, who needs to get reacclimated as well? He was out for a long while.
Right.
How concerned are you about that contract, though?
Oh, I mean, we've been concerned about it since the minute he put pen to paper.
Yeah, but has your concern increased? Because mine has a little bit. Not to the point where I'm ready to go out and write, like, a huge piece on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it shouldn't get much worse, right? If it does, then we're... kind of in tough waters with it.
I just don't know what... The Rockets had no choice. It's the same thing that's going to happen with the Sixers and Jimmy Butler this summer.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, maybe the Sixers let Jimmy walk, but, like, you know, once you trade for this guy, knowing he's coming up for a contract the next year, you have telegraphed your intention. Chris Paul was right to, like, he and his agent knew... They had the Rockets over a barrel, and they were right to take advantage of it. It's smart.
Oh, for sure. Like, for Chris, like, go get your money. Yeah. That's not it. It's just, you know,
right.
As an organization, you just need to think differently, right? But yeah. I get it. Like, if they had lowballed him, he would have gone elsewhere.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. And, like, to their credit, they've been savvy around the margins this year, even though, like, the whole goal has been to skirt the luxury tax, which is why Trevor Ariza is not there. And, you know, why they tried these low upside, low risk signings with MCW and Carmelo. But, like, as you said, bringing in Kenneth Faried, bringing in Austin Rivers, like, those guys have been valuable contributors, and they got them for very cheap. So, if they...
Despite them not being Maury Ball players.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know if they're going to be able to continue... that delicate dance of avoiding the tax and still managing to bring in... I mean, like, it's very rare to find buyout guys who are that good, or at least, like, that valuable to your rotation. They can't bank on that every year. But for this year, it's working. I'm excited. I think Houston's going to add some juice to that Western Conference playoff mix. I know we all just think the Warriors are going to steamroll everyone, which is... probably true, but the other matchups will be fun to watch, at least.
Well,
yeah, I mean, they definitely look flimsy lately.
And it's not just the flimsiness, man. It was the Sam Amick report about how the Warriors are actually wondering why Durant seems to be, you know, constantly... I don't remember the word he was used, but, like, he wasn't, like, giddy and positive about his situation. And Amick pointed out, like... That the Warriors felt like, you know, you're just coming off two championships, you're coming off two Finals MVPs, we're getting you the green light, and you're you know, you're just not in it. You're not satisfied. You're not happy. Like, everything seems to be very negative oriented, mm-hmm. which, again, we talked about KD and how he is a complex personality, which, again, is fine. But I also understand that that can have some ramifications for a team, the right. chemistry,
right.
and just the structure of the organization, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that you're maybe running a little bit out of juice and energy and trying to figure out, like, what does the future hold?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I really wanted to see this team. I know that, you know, a lot of NBA fans are just waiting for the day to this team to implode. But,
right.
I mean, it's rare we see, you know, dynasties to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have minded seeing this continue for, like, a handful of years at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the one good thing, if Kevin Durant does leave and or whatever, if Klay Thompson's not going to leave, but if Draymond Green leaves in a year, Draymond Green, who just signed with Clutch Sports,
yeah.
if they break apart, I do think the Warriors have kind of changed our mindset of, like, what it takes to build a championship team. And I think because of them, there really have been only a few legitimate contenders every year, like three or four at most. And I yeah. think if Kevin Durant leaves the Warriors this summer, that's going to open it up a little bit. There's still not, it's not like every team, it's not going to be like the NFL where, like, you replace half the playoff teams every year. Like, any team yeah. can come out of nowhere, win the title. Like, that's not true. But I do think we'll have a much wider scope of, like, you know, if Durant's in New York, you could talk me right now into any of the top five teams in the East. If they retain their key pieces, any of them could be legit championship contenders. I think, like, any of the top four, five, six in the West, probably, depending on the moves yeah. they make. The Clippers, if they get Kawhi, they could be championship contenders. Like, I think it will add much more intrigue to the regular season than we've had in years past, which will just be good for the game of basketball. But I agree with you. Like, I do hope, I know we've all gotten Warriors fatigue over the last couple of years, just as we had yeah. LeBron James Cavs fatigue, and we don't want to see LeBron James versus the Warriors in the finals again, but luckily that won't happen.
Yeah, that won't.
But, like, we should really take time to enjoy this, because you're right, this is the best dynasty we've seen in basketball, if not since the Kobe Shaq Lakers, like, since the Jordan-led Bulls.
Spurs, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like,
they never won back-to-back.
Right, like, their greatness was just so spread out over time.
Yeah. You're right.
That it's a different type of... I mean, you're right. Like, they're the best dynasty of the last 20 years. They're like the New England Patriots in the sense that, like, they just kept effing winning no matter what they did. But, like, right. the Lakers had such concentrated greatness in the early 2000s. And then Jordan's Bulls were just... that I mean,
right, you know, right.
They, like,
double three-peated, and right. like, then the Lakers three-peated. Yeah, right. absolutely.
And
yeah.
they made it to the finals in 2004. Like, the Warriors, realistically, if Draymond doesn't kick LeBron in the nuts, they're going for a five-peat right now.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's true, though.
It is. By the way, what do you do with Draymond? I know we're getting a little bit off topic here. What do you do with Draymond? If KD leaves, like, when he's a free agent, do you max out Draymond? Because I'm not there.
Well, he's not a free agent until 2020. So
I know, like, next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. No, I don't think you can.
No? Yeah.
Not a five-year.
Even four for me. But, yeah. I mean, I'm just seeing so many people go, oh, you know, now that KD is, you know, looks like he's leaving, that should free up the money for Golden State to just re-sign Draymond to whatever money he wants. And I'm like, what?
I mean, they have the money either way. They'll pay an enormous luxury tax bill, but Kevin Durant has no impact on their ability to retain Draymond Green. It's just like...
No, that's also true.
Yeah.
But just the general aspect of, well, just not having that contract on the books just helps the financial flexibility a little bit.
Yeah.
My point is just, regardless... Just mm-hmm. don't go that route with the maxing Draymond.
I know. I bet when they found out he signed with Clutch Sports, they were all just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
This does not bode well for our long-term future. It wouldn't totally shock me if they ended up shopping him this summer.
Oh, yeah, I think they are. Yeah. I think they will. Absolutely. Yeah. The clutch sports thing, I think that is going to be a toxic thing for many, many executives.
Yeah. I hope it is. It should be.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I say this with Ben Simmons being a clutch sports candidate. That's a client. It scares me.
Let's burn it with fire immediately.
Yeah. Like, I still fully expect. I know he came out the other day and said he plans to be in Philly for a long time, but, like, until he puts pen to paper on a 5-year max rookie extension, I don't believe it.
Yeah. Nope. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. We'll definitely talk about Draymond's future a lot in the summer, I'm sure, once we see how this season shakes out and how free agency shakes out. But yeah, the Warriors definitely have some, like, looming long-term problems, which, again, is why we should genuinely appreciate what they're going to do this year. And I want to see Boogie get a ring. So there's that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is one of the things I want to see most.
Yeah.
Happen for this playoffs. Just Boogie getting a ring and just pissing off everyone.
Right. Like, I don't want Andrew Bogut to get another ring. And so the Andrew Bogut side of kind of, like, is the inverse for Boogie. But I'll live if Boogie is an NBA champion. Even if he plays like 10 minutes off the bench, I don't care. I just want to see
matter.
Him. I just want to see him stunt on everyone who is like, y'all could have had me. I signed for $5 million for 1 year. This is all your fault.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers will give him a 5-year max.
Oh, or the Knicks.
Right, right.
Whatever.
Which they literally can't do, but yeah. All right, well, I think that's a good place to wrap up. We will be back sometime early next week, most likely. The NCAA tournament is coming up, so we are going to have a whole episode devoted to the prospects that you need to watch in terms of NBA potential. It's not just the Duke kids, spoiler alert, because John Morant is also in the tournament.
What are you telling me?
Well, as a Bulls fan, you're right. It is just the Duke kids, but it's also John Morant. And then after that, I don't know.
Jared Culver,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Jared Culver, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will, if you haven't been paying attention to college basketball at all, like me, this will be a good episode for you coming up. Until then, follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort. Good luck on choosing your U.S. destination.
Thank you, man. I'll figure it out. I actually need to leave the country within. That sounded wrong. I need to leave the country, but no. it has to, like, be within the next couple weeks, I think.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just been. I haven't really been away for a long time, and my son, the number two son, the unborn son,
mm-hmm.
Is coming in July. So if I need to get a vacation, and it's gonna be. Has to be now.
Now or never. Yep.
Now or never. And my wife can't fly right now. So, yeah. I'm going to figure something out for sure. And I'm gonna let you know what happens. For sure.
Good. Yeah. Keep us posted.
Definitely.
All right. Take it easy.
You too, man.